Well, good morning slash afternoon, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well.
We're doing.
You're doing good. Well. Good morning there, James. How you doing, buddy? Or good afternoon, whichever it is.
Good afternoon, Rick. There nice to be here. Good afternoon, Phil and Paul.
And good afternoon.
I think, James, we got Bad Cop and Worst Cop with us today.
I believe so. It definitely sounded that way. It was not good cop, bad cop. It was
bad cop, worst cop. Actually, I think it was good
dirty
cop,
old
better.
Harry. And
yeah, it was. I think it was good cop, better cop. You know,
I'd have to agree.
Depending on what side of the coin you're looking at that whole scene on, but yeah,
which direction you're facing?
Yeah, which direction you're facing? Exactly. Are you pointed to the Lord? It was good cop, better cop. If you were pointing your own direction, believe me, it was bad cop, worse cop. But
you need to turn around, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Head in the right direction, and it won't hurt so bad. You know, I was listening to Vermont a little bit before we got sort of started, at least our little pregame warm-up here. you know, Steve was in Hebrews today talking about the chasing of the Lord. And maybe we should go look at that today.
We can do that.
Want to do that?
Absolutely.
Because it's an important part. I mean, who was it? You, Phil? This you and Paul talking about how easy it is to come back after a revival and sort of settle back into our old ways and forget all that we learned.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mentioned. Yes, sir.
We've been on that topic for a little bit. We talked about that. We might have talked about that last week or when we got back.
Yeah, I think we did talk about that last week.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a danger because how easy is it to fall back into our old ways? Dogs returning to their vomit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Or so easily this.
Yeah, the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us.
Yeah, that's so it. Thank
that's,
you.
That's pretty much where we're headed today. Why don't we zip on over there? It's Hebrews 12, I believe.
Yep.
I think Steve was pounding that pretty good this morning. You know, maybe you guys want to go into a little bit about, you know, what's been on your heart this week to put you in this mindset to remind us that, I mean, you don't have to get into specifics, but, you know, things happen. It's easy to get off track, even though we're only 2 weeks out of the revival, out of the ministers' conference.
Yeah. Well, some of the stuff that got us where we were was, oddly enough, one of the things that Brad says so often is that in First John it says you'll know that you're disciples by your love one for another. I think it's in John, First John. And that love is a love of preference, a love of choice. It's not a panty waist filios conditional and selfish love about what you can get out of it. And if we're going to be noticed by others for our love one for another, it starts in our homes and works out from there. It's what do you like when there's nobody watching?
Can we just skip that?
Yeah.
I don't really want to go there.
And, I mean, you know, another thing, Rick, is for us, you know, I mean, I was listening, was it Thursday night, that really opened up a lot of openings. You know, when Brad was talking about...
Thursday night was a good service.
Yeah, it was. I mean, look, if you guys have opportunity to hear it, listen to it. But it opened a lot of doors up for, you know, where Job was asking the Lord why. And you know, one of the things is, and, you know, and just in the whole line of authority, I mean, is where do we get off asking the Lord why? Where do we get off, you know, it's yes, sir, no problem type of thing. I mean, yes, you know, what? Yes, Lord. You know, and one of the things is, in the midst of us, you know, when the Lord brings us chastisement, you know what I thought about? I mean, the Lord brings us chastisement. He doesn't come down and sits down and talks with me personally. No, he sends my discipler, or he sends Paul, or he sends you, Ricky, or he sends James, or whomever the Lord may use at that time. You know, I mean, are we going to humble ourselves and hear it, or are we going to judge that person? Because if we judge that person, it's like judging the Lord and what he's telling us.
And there's a proper attitude to receiving that.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, safety.
You know, he still loves me. What comes to mind in that is that if it's gotten to the point where God himself has to come talk to you, you may not like what he has to say.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, that might be a little too late at that point.
Yeah. Good point. So, I mean, you know, the whole line of authority and how that was set up kind of came into that mind. And are we taking heed to that, or are we just judging the people that the Lord has sent? It's not even our place to judge that. Not even our place. And it's kind of like, you know, I said it was like kind of like a kindergartner going to kindergarten to learn, and then he turns around and tries to teach the teacher. You know?
Yeah, the place to go for instruction as to how the kindergarten class is being handled, probably not one of the kindergarten students. Probably not.
Right. Right. So, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, and for me, you know, and I'm looking at that and hearing that when Job asked why, I'm like, you know, how many times do we do that? How often do we do that? Instead of taking the correction of the Lord, knowing that that it's good for us.
Well, stop right there. Stop right there. Here's the issue. In that little piece that you just said right there, we actually, if that's where we're at, then we yet don't have a handle on the character and nature of God, and don't accept his character and nature is one, righteous always,
mm-hmm.
and two, is always just.
Yep.
So when we ask why, in many instances it's us questioning God's character.
Yeah.
You know, one thing. Go ahead.
Anyway. Well, I mean, what comes to mind, I read a little bit in 1 John, which I was going to kind of hit this morning, but didn't end up going there. But one of the things is, you know, where he talks about, and if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and you're a liar. But if you confess your sin, then he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. You know, it's one of those things, how many times we're trying to justify ourselves and just not let the word of correction come and do its work. Anyways, might be going off point, so...
No, I think you're directly on point. I mean, if your mindset, and I think we all start in the default position when we wake up in the morning, we are switched the wrong way.
Yep.
And we have to flip the switch the right way before we get going too far, or we're going to be messed up for the whole day.
Yep.
But when we get up in the morning, and this is why it's so critical, I think, I mean, this is just my two cents, okay? This is just Rick speaking here. But it's so critical that we center ourselves when we get up into the recognition that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price, that we belong to Him, and that our purpose on this earth is to serve and glorify the Father.
Amen.
If we take whatever it takes to get that in our head before we get, you know, thinking about where's my coffee and where's the next thing and, you know, what list of stuff do I have to get done today? I mean, when we start our day out...
Where's that woman with my coffee?
Prioritizing what we have to do, we sort of have set ourselves up to put everything God has for us second, or third, or fourth, or fifth, or sixth, or whatever.
Well, he's still on the list.
Well, if it's anything like my to-do list, if it isn't at the top, it may not get done. My list just keeps getting taller. But you,
sounds like you have the
saying?
Same problem Steve has.
And so, if we don't find that center before we get started, then we're gonna have a bad perspective, or have that potential of our perspective being completely off all day. It's quite high, and then we get into circumstances and situations we're not prepared for. It. We're not looking at things from the spiritual perspective. We're looking at things purely from a carnal perspective, and then everything sort of starts to unravel and fall apart, and we wonder. And then we get into the place where we say, God, why is this happening? Well,
dummy.
Let's see. Where do I start?
Yeah.
D-U-M-B stupid.
Right. And I from my own experience, and again, this is just me. You know, I'm just talking about what I've experienced. If I don't center myself, I set myself up to make my day that much more difficult to walk in what God would have me do versus what I want to do.
Amen. And you know, one of the things is man, we're not taking the direction from God first. I mean, one, we can't operate correctly without Him anyways. I mean, quite frankly. And the other thing is, if we're not taking the direction from God first and going out to do what He would have us do, then all the other, it's not going to work out, because it's not His agenda we're getting on, you know?
It's ours.
And then we turn around, like you said, and go, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, dummy, you didn't get on my agenda. You got on your own, you know?
And the thing is that, you know, and I can hear the, but you don't understand, just sort of resonating in people's heads from 2,000 miles away. Believe me, I get it. Come live with me and work my schedule for a month and see how you do. You know, I go to bed with more work on my plate than I woke up with every single day. Just the way it is. But I realize that, you know, some of the things, you know, God hasn't given me the work for me not to do it. But I need to be about His business while I'm doing it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know,
you have been given, and I heard you, and you can say it again, because I can make sure it's recorded. Did you say I was right, Phil? I'm just checking.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And when you said, you're absolutely right, and it's a gift of God. I mean, and what that thing was, you said the job that I am in is ordained from God. For you and for the other people.
Yeah.
And I, let me tell you, Rick, I had at that time many reasons why that was not the case.
I can relate.
And I just was just beside myself when you said, how could he say that? You know, he just doesn't understand.
We have all been there.
But as I, you know, as things happened to consequence of me not taking heed of that and taking heed to my own understanding, some things had happened. And it put me in a humbling place. And the Lord had taught me some things in the midst of those things. And now it's made clear to me that that is absolutely the case. Could have been a lot easier if I just said, okay, you're right.
Yeah, if you accept,
praise God, believe, and
accurate,
go with it.
You know, if you accepted being accurate in the first place, then it, you know, things could be different. On the other side of it, the fact that you get it now means the Lord will redeem all that time and yet prove to you and to others that it's not about us doing it right the first time. It's about us seeking to serve the Lord, and He will make it right.
Amen. And he has been doing that, Rick.
Yeah.
And the redemption has been there. And it's clearly, clearly the case that it was ordained of God for me at this time.
Yeah, we all have things that we have responsibilities. And some of those responsibilities God has given us. So when I say, you know, be about the Lord's things, sometimes the Lord's things are you go to work and glorify Him at work. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, people get hung up on, and we've talked about it in the past, you know, ministry. I want to be a full-time minister. Well, and you're not now? I mean, are you a part-time Christian? I mean, what is it? I mean, we're all full-time ministers.
Amen.
I mean, I don't care if you're, I don't care if you got a, if you're married with children or not. I mean, you are, you could be single working at McDonald's. You're a full-time minister. If you're a believer.
Amen. I like that. What are you, a part-time Christian?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it was been working. Yeah.
Oh, man. And that's sorrowful.
Rick. And the Lord, see, go ahead, James. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. That's, you know, when we were talking about the Lord being centered in our lives, you know, when we wake up, my mom had told me something Steve prays every day, and now I also do, you know, is that the Lord transform me out of this world and into His kingdom. And, you know, it's centering and getting that foundation in the morning that will allow you to, when you know, to see the opportunity to minister to somebody, or, you know, seize the moment when there's something. And without that centering or foundation, you never notice it. You're not, your focus is in the wrong place.
Amen. It's like what Jesus did to the Father, was He set His face like flint to go do His Father's will.
Yeah. I don't do my own will, but I do the will of my Father.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're called, to do.
Well, that's what Steve was talking about. I mean, all of this stuff is just gelling together. You know, Jesus at the rock in the garden was what? Not my will, but your will be done. I mean, that really needs to be where we start our day.
Amen.
And then trust Him. And then trust Him as things come up and things happen and things are going on, that they are, look, everything He promises to those that love God and are the called according to His purpose, that some things work to our good, right?
All things.
All things.
I'm just checking to see if you're listening. No, all things work to our good. You know, you have to maybe take a step back and look for it. Which, you know, that's part of learning. That's part of learning perspective and walking in authority. Because if you're right down the middle of it, sometimes you don't see what's going on. You have to take a step back and say, "All right, Lord, what's happening? You know, please show me spiritually what's going on." How many of us at the conference? One of the things we asked for to receive of the Lord was discernment and wisdom.
Yeah.
Well, how do you learn that?
Clean heart.
Exercise.
By reason of use. Yeah. You got to be in the situation that requires discernment and wisdom to be able to learn discernment and wisdom. It's like asking the Lord, "Lord, I want to learn how to love one another." You know, that's one of those prayers that's sort of like, "Lord, give me patience."
Yeah.
You might rethink that one. That's sort of right up there with, "Lord, do whatever it takes." You know, you start throwing those things on a pile, you're going to learn it. But
you're
all
set
of that
on fire.
Yeah, right. You're going to learn that through opportunities to exercise it.
Amen.
So why are we surprised that we have lots of opportunities?
And I think Peter says, are you surprised the fire trials are coming?
That's exactly what came through my mind just then, too. I mean,
you asked for this.
don't you know that your faith is more precious than anything? I mean, messing the scripture up. I would like to look it up. But it's more precious than silver, gold, all those things. It's much more precious than anything else.
I mean, these are all things we need to equip ourselves with. Charlie was talking about when he went to Grenada. And this wasn't in a pleasure cruise. He went as part of the force that went to liberate those students that were in trouble. But, you know, he had equipment. He had equipment that he had to take. And, you know, he was talking about sometimes he took a little bit more than he needed because he got to walk through the ammo tent. They say, here, you want a Laws rocket? Oh, yeah, he was a medic. What do you need a rocket for? But I have to say, if I was there, I probably would have taken a rocket, too.
Oh, man, I would have been all over that thing.
Rocket?
You know, 400 I need pounds that. Of gear, 400 pounds of gear and leave my med kit back at the tent. But
all I need is this chair.
Hold on, shiny thing, Phil. Come on. All right, I apologize. Let's get back. But we've been, you know, we sort of, in many regards, we sort of walked through the ammo tent back in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, to be equipped to accomplish those things God has for us. We have to take that equipment out of the bag and use it. You know, it's no fun carrying the rocket launcher unless you get to use the rocket launcher. I mean, come on, right? If you've got a yacht, well, you got to want to use it. I mean, just having it, it's just extra weight.
Cuba from here.
And talking about this rocket launcher really makes me want to get one.
I
mean,
I shouldn't have gone there.
Yeah, that was a bad move.
I digress.
Yeah, we lost.
But we sort of walked through the ammo tent in Texas, you know, and the Lord said, what do you want? You know, ask for it. My mind goes to the scripture that says, you know, if your heavenly father, you know, if you have fathers, natural fathers, which are evil, what one's going to, his kid's going to ask for a loaf of bread, he's going to give him a snake or a scorpion or whatever. I mean, your heavenly father's got good things for you. And he says, ask, you'll receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, it'll be open. I mean, we have a heavenly father, going back to perspective, that has nothing but good for us who believe.
Amen.
All we have to do is put ourselves, put away our old man and seek him and serve him. You know, he's going to give it to us if we're going to use it to glorify him, not ourselves. Amen.
Absolutely, James. I mean, he is the source of what you get to do his will.
It goes back to that obedience and humility.
Yeah. And that love. I mean, where do we get that love from? We get that love from him. We get that direction from him.
So,
the shiny thing is banging around the chat room right now. Gail.
Yeah, I got it. That might have been a bad choice of imagery, but evidently it resonates with some of us, you know.
And, you know, some of what you're talking about is Rick, is, I mean, he's good. And the point, in him is light, and then there is no darkness at all.
Right.
And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yep. Yeah, I don't see anywhere in the Word where it says God's going to punish us for being obedient.
No. Or God's going to punish us for getting to know him. No, it says he's going to reveal himself to us.
Yeah, or God's going to punish us for wanting to do his will. See, I see a bunch of really good stuff for those that want to do the Lord's work.
Amen.
And it may not be, you know, may not be comfortable in the flesh, but it's certainly going to be profitable to the spirit.
Amen.
I don't think it's ever comfortable in the flesh.
Well, let me try and explain that for a minute. You know, Did you enjoy yourself at the conference, James?
Yes.
Did you enjoy the fellowship?
Absolutely.
Did you have a good time?
I did.
Did you enjoy praise and worship and praising the Lord and getting up to speak? And did you enjoy that?
I did.
So there was a natural enjoyment that you received during all of that.
That is right.
Yeah. So what I'm talking about is there's fun stuff that we get to do in the natural, and it's enjoyable and fun. But there's other things that could be a consequence of us obeying the Lord that will not be so enjoyable and not be so much fun to our flesh. And I'm thinking of, you know, Paul and Silas getting beat and thrown in the bottom part of the jail. It was profitable in the spirit because that's exactly where God wanted them, and that's where God had the guy who wanted to know of the Lord was there. That's how they got there. And, you know, the Lord, you know, yet again thwarted the enemy's plans and redeemed a man and his family. I mean, there
and what you're talking about lines right up with the theme of the conference, that second part.
Yeah. You know, there are things that we will, that are going to be a hoot in the Lord to be part of. I mean, we are going to enjoy them. You know, following the Lord is not some miserable existence that we never have enjoyment. I love the times that, you know, my flesh will lie to me and say, you're not going to like that until I'm doing it. And I'm saying, wait a minute, this is awesome.
Awesome.
Man, why was I holding, I mean, man, you know?
Yeah, like in a good example is when you minister and somebody receives it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a joy.
Amen. So, you know, there are going to be times where we are doing the things and it's not going to be so much fun. And it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be hard work. It's going to be climbing a hill or it's going to, you know, I'm thinking, you know, metaphorically, like, you know, on a hike and loaded down with stuff and you got a job to do. And sometimes that's, you know, not so much fun. There's going to be lots of times where it is fun. You know, and being in the doing the things of the Lord can be an amazing ton of fun time.
You know, he does talk about in Scripture that your joy may be full.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, will we have to overcome some of our natural inhibitions? I mean, you know, that which is at rest takes more energy to get moving than that which is already moving to adjust its course. It's like a physics thing.
Yep.
Science, you know.
Well, I mean, part of getting your joy to be full is getting shed of.
Well, let me go back. Let me finish what my thought was there, Phil.
Okay.
And I'll use myself for an example. And I believe my wife will probably agree with this. I tend to prefer to be more sedentary than mobile. So I prefer in myself at the end of the day to relocate my sitting from my office chair to my living room seat. The mobility that occurs is simply the path it takes to get from my office chair to my living room chair. That's the extent of the movement that I am really interested in making. Once I am in my chair, and frankly either location, the effort required to have me extricate that location can be significant.
Then the dog comes along and you start thinking in your head, Freddy's dead, Freddy's dead, Freddy's dead.
However,
I can't remember who did that song. But.
However... There have been times where I have gotten out of my chair and done things more like Philip and Paul were talking about today, those things that would be beneficial to my family. And, you know, the decision to actually get up and do something seemed pretty hard. nearly impossible. However, once you're doing it, it ain't so bad.
Oh, yeah, it's that first initial push to start, absolutely.
And so what I'm saying is that there, you know, the uncomfortableness in our flesh, going back to what you were talking about, James, it really only lasts for a moment. And it's only that struggle to actually just decide to do that which you need to do. And once you've made that decision, the rest of it, you know, once you're moving, it's a lot easier to adjust course and keep moving. But to start can take a good bit of effort.
Yeah, you're right. And there's so many times that's the case. I mean, I'm just looking. But for an example, I think it was last night. I come home from work. I should be bringing, you know, I'm thinking priest, prophet, king of my household at this point, and I'm thinking doing a Bible study. I'm thinking, hey, I really don't want to do one. But you know what? And then I started thinking, okay, Phil. I mean, here's this like little voice of mine. Okay, so just neglect the word of God to your family and your kids because you don't feel like it. Well, that changed my mind a little bit. And so I did, and I wanted to play some games. But we had a great Bible study, and we hit some things, you know, on a personal level there in our own home. And then afterwards, man, Rick, we had played games, me and the girls and Hope, and it was just a joyous time. A joyous time. You know, from the time I decided to do that, and thereafter, that whole evening until 10 o'clock at night. You know what I'm saying? And it was a blessing. Sure. And it was a blessing.
It was like James saying to me at the conference. He's asking, you know, he really would like to have a Bible study, but I might be too busy. I wanted to thump him. I wanted, you know, smack him on the back of the head and say McFly or something. You know, why don't you just ask? I'll make time for that. I mean, that's my first privilege that I have is to be involved in something like that. So we had a great Bible study Friday evening.
Yes, we did.
And we got in there and started just looking at the Lord's Word, and all kinds of things started opening up, and we had a good time. And we're going to do it again. I mean, it's something that's, you know, you get together and fellowship with one another and get into God's Word. You know, there'll be time to do the other stuff, just like you're saying, Phil. There was still time for you to, you know, enjoy the recreation with your family and play some games and stuff. But you put the Lord first, and I think it makes that other time that much better.
Well, that's where it started, was making that choice for me. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And some of the things we were talking about, putting the Lord first and others before ourselves in the Bible study. And, you know, I enjoy that, especially, you know, I do that. The other thing is doing that, the Bible study with Sue and Nunu and Lisa and her kids. That's the most joyous time, where actually I'm talking with Lisa to get it where she can be with us every time, because she works on Tuesdays sometimes, because I don't want to leave her out, because it's a very good time. I enjoy that mightily. And so do the kids. And I think the other parents involved as well. I mean, it's a blessing. I mean, it's a great time. And good lessons. And things open up.
Well, let's see. It's 12:35 your time. It's 10:35 my time. What'd you say we pick a scripture? I've got some other ones jumping around my head besides just Hebrews 12. You guys got anything you want to look at?
Well, we didn't really do anything with Hebrews 12.
No, we haven't yet. We talked about going into that. But is there
can I say one thing on Hebrews 12?
James, you can say two things. Maybe three, but we'll have to check it out. Go ahead.
You know, when Steve was talking earlier, you know, Hebrews 12, verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You know, if we're willing to accept the chastening, we're as his sons. And I mean, what greater thing is there than that? And if we're not, you can read down and see what we are. You know, it's We need to be willing to listen to our line of authority. I mean, even your dad telling me you need to complete your sentences out there. You know, stupid little things like that, but it's important. You know, and to hear that, you know, I could have easily gotten an attitude and it would have been of no gain. But to hear it and to try to stop, you know, move forward not doing that. Amen. I'm glad I was told that. It's a blessing to know our faults.
Yes, it is. Well, now that Paul finally saw my message about turning off his mic so we don't have that hum in our ear, he can have to unmute it and let Philip read some.
Justify myself here. It sounded like it was coming from James's mic, but you know, I will mute mine between. It's just he starts talking, and then I'm listening to him.
You were not going to what?
Not trying to justify myself.
No, Ricky, I
was absolutely wrong, and.
But all I can say is that when you finally
look back over here, and damn, the mic's muted. You know.
Oh, did y'all miss that?
No.
Oh, really? Okay. What I was saying, it's a freeing thing. It's a freeing thing when you get chastised about the and it's a freeing thing to get you free from the bondage of corruption, the thing that is holding you back from growing in the Lord. It's a freeing thing if you hear the chastisement and take heed to it and put those things off. That thing is to free you up in the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's go back to one thing and this I want to keep reiterating this. We have to just decide against everything that is in our nature to believe that God loves us and what is going on is for our good. If we don't have that perspective, it's when all of that stuff we start questioning all the stuff that's going on around us, and that's where we get out of whack.
Rick, and we don't have Dead to right understand on. It.
Right.
Just believe. Then the understanding will come. I mean, Steve put it this way in a great way. I mean, you look at the Benjamin Franklin where he discovered lightning. Well, one, he didn't really know how all that worked. But he believed it'd work or he wouldn't have hung that key up on that kite to go get it, to put it up there. And then when lightning hit it, they understood that that was lightning and that's power, that's electricity. And he got understanding from that. But he stepped out and believed it first.
Yeah. I mean, what we really have to, and part of that centering ourselves in the Lord's will in the morning, is telling ourselves that God is good, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then from that perspective, we can have the day he would have us have. But if we don't get that through our thick skulls and we don't put our flesh under subjection with regards to that, then we're constantly going to question everything that happens and we're going to be in constant judgment of the character of God. And in that place, we are in trouble. Make sure y'all unmute your mic if you're going to comment.
He was answering, and of course, he finished before I got to the mute.
I agreed.
You agreed? All right, so do you guys want to go to Hebrews 12? Reiterating what Stevens, everybody's been through. You want to do that or you want to do something else?
This is just my vote in it. I would love to.
All right. Well, let's do that then. Because, Phil, you're the only vote that matters, buddy.
That's so not true. Absolutely not true.
Why don't you read for us?
Okay. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Okay, so you can stop right there. Let's see if we can get off this verse today. You know, whew, man. I think it was James. James, did we go through some of this on Friday? It all runs together, but I think we talked about this a little bit on Friday.
Yes, we did, and we hit on the patience.
We hit on the patience.
Where it's an active, you know, it's not sitting back patiently waiting. You're moving forward, actively seeking the truth in a proactive way. I hope I said that right.
No, you did. I want to look a little bit before that, guys, because you know, the mindset in the church today, especially in the bride-type church, which we're just surrounded by, is very much one that we wait around and let Jesus do everything for us. And you can even read, or not read, you can listen to some of the music that's out there today in the modern church, and it's right on the same sort of wavelength, you know. We exist for God to woo us and all that other nonsense, and that's where their head's at. I want to look at this here for a moment because it really is contradictory to that mindset completely. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and you guys can go back and read 11 about all the people and men and women of faith. Those are the witnesses. Let us do what? Lay aside. We'll just stop right there. Let us lay aside. This puts the responsibility is squarely on us. You guys want to jump in on that?
Well, you're right.
It's microphones.
it's not what the church at large is teaching today. And it is something we choose to do.
Yeah, and if you don't lay aside, it's not going to get laid aside.
Does that make any sense? Yeah, it's worthless and it's no point in carrying it.
Yeah, it's not going to get done as far as if you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to be successful, if you want to walk in the same faith, then you have to lay this aside. If you don't lay it aside, then you're not going to walk in that faith. You're not going to walk in that place the Lord has you. And you're going to have nobody to blame but yourself for the fact you didn't achieve that which God gave you to do.
Rick, isn't it dying to ourselves?
Well, it is, but it's more than just dying to ourselves. It's putting ourselves to death. Do you know what the difference is?
I'd like you to speak on that.
You know, dying to yourself is, to me, seems sort of somewhat passive. I mean, when you're putting something to death, you're actively...
It's the difference between... It's the difference between mortify the deeds of the flesh. That is an act of murder. That is killing it, and just laying down and dying is like you said, is a passive thing.
This lay aside and wait is that there is an obstruction to your faith,
right.
And you are going to remove that obstruction to your faith so that you can move forward. You know, the Lord, when
it's
we talk about
finishing. Job.
You were talking about, Phil, the Lord bringing correction into our lives. We are brought correction. Now, when I was brought correction most recently, I say recently, 6, 8, 10 months ago, and you know, it's not like I don't get corrected all the time, but there was an adjustment that was brought to me, and I frankly, it scared the hell out of me. So I sought then to, all right, how do I fix this in the sense of how do I change whatever needs to be changed so that I am no longer guilty of what I am being, you know, reprimanded for. I sought to lay aside those things that were an obstruction to my faith and my walk with the Lord, because I don't want them to be an obstruction to my faith and walk with the Lord. I valued my faith and walk with the Lord over those things that were the obstruction. Does that make any sense?
That's a choice.
By finishing the job, Rick, I'm talking, you know, putting that thing to death is like putting it to death. I mean, finishing it. I mean, putting your foot on that old ways and just squashing that dead man, making sure it's good and down and dead.
Last week we talked about, you know, a lot of us Christians never signed the DNR for our old man. Okay, DNR being do not resuscitate order. You know, if you're in the hospital and you're on life support, if there's a DNR, if you croak, they're not going to work to bring you back. Well, we've got we've got the document that says use all extraordinary measures possible to keep this son of a gun alive. You know, that's more what we have done with our old man. What you're talking about, Phil, is you sign the DNR and go pull the plug.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're lay aside every weight, you know, if the weight is nagging at you about, you know, all the things that are piling up that you have to lay aside. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care on him, trusting yourself so that he can care for you because he cares for you. And that's news to some people, but it shouldn't be. Let him, trust him.
I find it interesting. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin.
Yeah.
I look at that, Ricky, see sin, I see unbelief.
That's right.
It's it's a trade-off that you get much more than you lay down, because he's so good.
That's where you go to Ephesians above, you can ask or think.
Yep. And it goes on and says, which doth so easily beset us. You guys were talking about today, you know, coming home and getting sidetracked, and, you know, the Lord is going to bring his shepherd's crook out and yank us by the neck and get us back where we need to be. How easy is it to get off track? How easy is it to get beset? And if we're weighted down and we're full of unbelief, it's that much easier.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And so let's run with patience, and that's that determination to completion. The race that's set before us.
Amen. And, you know, when I looking at that, that's so easily beset us, and let us run with patience in the race that is set before us. I was thinking about it, what I was sharing with you guys last week, where things were coming on, and it was just one of an action in my mind and in prayer, just, I am not gonna accept any of this doubt, unbelief, this thing that is trying to overtake. I'm not going to accept it.
Failure is not an option.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a lot of people, I think, there's a lot of people in our fellowship. Well, let me just say, there are people in our fellowship that have lived a presumptuous faith for probably most of their life. And frankly, that's the wide path that leads to hell. And God loves us, and he's not going to let us stay there.
You can't see you nod there, buddy.
Oh, amen.
You know, if you say you have faith, then it is going to be tried and it's going to be proven, and that is for your good. You will either be perfected through those trials, and your faith will be hardened and perfected and tempered and made secure in the sufficiency of Christ, or you will leave. Because God's building and equipping a regiment that is going to do His will and is going to affect change in the spiritual, and He can't have hangers and clinger-ons as part of that regiment. If you guys are chatting, you got to unmute your mic.
Mike's unmuted because I expected him to say something, but he didn't. So, there you go.
Yeah. And so we're here. We are at that place, you know. And there's all kinds of things being required of us. And we are going to learn the lessons that He has for us to learn so that we can be effective in His plan. We want to be part of the plan. Amen?
Amen.
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 And therefore, we are going to have to learn what He needs us to learn so we can be effective in His plan. And it's easy to get, if we don't center ourselves or things get hard, we're having to be stretched and, you know, we're in unfamiliar territory. So He tells us here in verse 2, read verse 2 for me, Phil.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay, so who is our inspiration?
Jesus.
Absolutely. Right, do we need any greater example?
No.
I mean, we have all the witnesses that He was just referring to in chapter 11, and we have Christ. Imagine all those people that didn't have Christ as an example. They were believing in hope, looking forward to the cross. I mean, we have the privilege, the benefit, of having all that happened before and Christ on the cross and all that happened afterwards. Paul and his letters, and I mean, goodness, if there's ever a group of people that are without excuse, it is certainly us.
Amen.
And verse 3, and then we'll wrap it up, Phil.
For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds.
And that's the battle.
Yep.
And that's the battle. Where, Phil, in the past, when you would get off track and you would struggle, it always happened because you got wearied and fainted in your mind.
Yep.
You're a rugged boy. I mean, you slung tires for years. It's not like you're a weakling, physically. Mentally, mentally you've had a few problems. You know, and I say that in
you ain't kidding. Yeah, absolutely.
In your mind, you have had issues. Well, you have to have that strengthened.
Amen.
Faint in your mind.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Oh, it did. I mean, that was the example that I was talking about last week. Was one of that wanted that old way, that old line of thinking. That thing wanted to come in. It was like I couldn't explain it, but setting my face like flint to believe God and His word, and I was not accepting anything else. I was not going to accept that crap. Not going to happen. Not going there. Not going to do it.
And then you see the operation of God's promises, because it says, we humble ourselves, we submit ourselves therefore to God, we resist the devil, and what happens, Phil?
He will flee.
See, we've been equipped. We have all we need to go forth in the strength and power and authority of that God has for us.
Amen.
But we've got to exercise that. We've got to be willing to do it. And James, you're seeing this demonstrated in your life now too. I mean, the Lord's bringing people into your life that you're ministering to.
Yes, sir.
And I got to imagine if you had 3 years ago, if we had said, James, you're going to have a church in your house, I'm sure you would have said, oh yeah, I'm expecting that next week probably, right?
I wasn't ready, you know, but the Lord's worked on me, and I'm not going to say I'm perfect or anything, but I'm...
You know what God wants? You know what He wants? He wants you willing. You know, He wants someone that's willing to put themselves out there and try.
And that you are, James.
Yeah. So praise God.
Amen.
And we don't have to get wearied in our minds, because we have Jesus to look at. We have the example. You go back to Peter. I mean, it starts off in chapter 4, which we love, you know. You know, remember Him. Remember Christ. I mean, we have this. We have what we need. We have to lay aside the other stuff that gets in the way. We have to choose to believe that which we know in our spirit and according to God's word is right. We have to learn to doubt our doubts and trust God. So we got just about a minute and a half here. Paul, why don't you close us out?
Well, you know, it is, and it in verse 3 continue to talk about example being Jesus. Sinners are against belief. Sin is about unbelief. And it is a contradiction of faith. And why wouldn't you choose to lay this stuff down? Cast it. Don't just lay it down. Cast it as far away from you as possible and trust Jesus in your care.
All right, guys. That's it. I got to hit the radio, and we are out. You guys have a great day.